Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
How special? My bus only has one axle. That's how short it is, all right? I'm special. Thank you very much for being with us today, Jimbo Fraterra at 106.3 WORD. It's 7 past 8 o'clock. And Lee Rogers, do you remember back to the 2008 campaign and Rush Limbaugh's Operation Chaos?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, remember it well.
He urged people, since by that time in 08, the Republican nomination was over. John McCain had wrapped it up.
Yeah.
But for the Democrats, Obama and Clinton were going on and on and on. And in order to prolong the Democrats' agony, he urged people to vote in the presidential primaries for Hillary just to make them bleed longer.
Right.
And it could be argued that Hillary Clinton carrying Mississippi and Texas was partially, you have to give credit to Rush Limbaugh. I just checked with the voter registrar in my jurisdiction here in South Carolina, since they don't register people by party here. Of course, you've got the presidential primary on Saturday, the 29th of February.
Right.
You got the main primary. I guess it's the 9th of June, something like that.
Yes, June, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then a runoff after that. I asked, I said, could I vote, let's say, since there's no Republican primary in South Carolina this year, could I vote in the Democrats' primary for president and then vote in the Republican primary in June? And they said, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, because those are two separate things.
Totally separate.
The presidential preference primary, number one, is done by the parties, as is the June primary, too. Mm-hmm. It's technically done by the parties themselves.
Yeah.
It is not considered a state or national election.
Right.
It is conducted by the parties. And since there is no registration by party, and since, quite honestly, there is a history of those of one party joining into the primary of another party in this state, certainly, there is no problem. There is nothing illegal about anyone who wants to vote in the Democrat presidential preference primary coming up in February and then voting in the Republican primary in June.
Exactly. And that's what I'm going to do. Again, I plan, granted, I'm not going to exactly be a benign influence. I plan to be a troublemaker.
So not that I necessarily want you to reveal, but is Marianne Williamson going to be getting your vote?
I thought about her, and of course she's ended her campaign. I think that probably the biggest burr under most Democrats' saddles these days is Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah. Quite honestly, she comes across as one of the, if there is such a thing as a sane Democrat, she at least represents herself well when she tries to explain her policies. And she seems to be someone who tries to keep the emotion and the personal attacks out of it for the most part. But she does seem to come across to me as somewhat of a sane candidate. But still, policy-wise, not somebody in the least that I would have any interest
in. No. But I mean, again, since she's not going to win the nomination anyway, and again,
sure,
just to throw a little monkey wrench their way, I plan to use my vote, because legally it's my vote. It's mine to cast.
I do share one thing with her on policy, a contempt for the Clintons.
Well, there is that, yes. That I found to be extremely enticing about her, I must confess. She's not, of course, running for her House seat this year.
True.
It's the presidency or nothing.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I've got to hand it to these folks who are giving up their current position to go ahead and run for president. Quite honestly, I'm at some point wondering if we shouldn't have something where if you declare for the presidency, you have to resign whatever position you're in immediately. Because it does seem to be... Running for president is such a time-consuming situation. You cannot possibly continue to do a responsible job of representing your constituents and then run for that office. It's one thing if you're running for the same office and you're doing it in your district or in your state, but when you are doing a nationwide campaign on that level, how can you possibly be representing your constituents properly?
Not properly at all. No, you cannot. You absolutely cannot. So I think the point is well taken. Much appreciated there, sir. Lee Rogers, of course, who will have more updates for you as the morning continues, as we do in the mornings at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And it's good to have you with us this morning. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. And, yeah, I'm definitely going to take advantage of the opportunity that I have to just cast a little monkey wrench in the vote and do so the Democrat of my choice, whoever it is. Ah, very good. Here we go. Text her at the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Says Jimbo voting for Tulsi could be dangerous as she may be picked by one of those old white guys as vice president. Trust me on this. That ain't going to happen. Although it is interesting when you stop and look at how much this is old white folks. I count Elizabeth Warren in there because I don't think that her Native American standing is going to really be a big persuasive factor out there on various Indian sectors of the country. I think most of the people on the reservation would have a reservation about her, honestly. In fact, come to think of it, do you realize that if you had second thoughts about booking a hotel on at an Indian casino, that would be a reservation? Had you thought about that? Probably not. All right, 813 here at 106.3 WORD. I'm into my B material now. We've already used up the A material this morning. So the rest of the way, it's B material here. But that is an interesting notion, the idea of the running mate. Certainly, if Biden wins the nomination, and I've said before, and I'll say it again, most of his backers have not been really paying attention to this campaign during all of his recent gaffes. And I know I'm not sure if any future gaffes will weigh that much really on their minds. He may well get the nomination, and I've said so from the beginning, the idea that Joe's just going to curl up and die, not necessarily. People know his name. But if the final people there are Joe and Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. By the way, this Sunday, Pete Buttigieg will turn 38, which means that just in time for inauguration, if he were elected, he would be the 39-year-old president of the United States. The youngest president ever, Teddy Roosevelt, who was 42, and he got the presidency by virtue of the assassination of William McKinley, the youngest elected president, John Kennedy. So anyway, the running mates, certainly Kamala Harris, who just had a terrible, terrible campaign, the senator from California, but she's on everybody's short list because she is, as they say, indelicately and non-PC, a twofer. That is to say, she is a woman and a person of color. She's automatically on all their short lists. But I'll guarantee you this, if say Biden gets the nomination or Sanders gets the nomination, and they in fact pick her as a running mate, they will tell her to shut up. Just do what we tell you to do. And read this script. After you've mismanaged your own campaign, then we're not about to even think about letting you manage your campaign for vice president. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see just exactly how this all turns out. And we're going to start finding out in the very near future. I'll be very curious as the Democrats try to sort out something that could be considered remotely a coherent policy alternative to Donald Trump. It ain't going to be easy, boys and girls. It ain't going to be easy.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Here's a missive sent our way here. We are told now by the left that we cannot protect ourselves because that is the job of the police. But we also have firemen. So why do we have fire extinguishers and smoke detectors in our homes when we have firemen? Are we allowed to fight fires if one breaks out even though we have firemen? Or are we just supposed to watch the fire until the fireman comes? Yes. Now then, of course, someone like Michael Bloomberg would say, well, it's not the same thing. And of course, you would reply, oh, really? How isn't it? Well, it's just not the same thing. Trust me, Michael Bloomberg, it is the same thing. It's precisely the same thing. The difference, of course, is that the left does not consider the possession of a fire extinguisher or a garden hose to be dangerous. But if you, of course, own a gun, guns evil. That's about as deep as this argument goes. Guns evil. That's as far as they go down that road. So what can I tell you? Texter says, how can Clemson just suspend the open container law? Could they suspend other laws? Sure. I mean, it's just essentially what it is a new temporary law. You could suspend anything. You could suspend the law on jaywalking or murder or anything else. Well, murder would be a state offense, but you could suspend any city ordinance if you passed it through the council and it gets signed by the mayor or whatever the process is in Clemson. It differs from locality to locality. Yeah, they could suspend other laws. Of course, they don't have a reason to suspend most of them. But trust me, tonight in Clemson, enforcing the open container law, win or lose, okay? That's not worth it. Trust me, tonight, the police in Clemson are going to be worrying about other things like, overturned dumpsters and fires set and this sort of thing. People drunk out of their minds. Possessing an open container, you might as well suspend it because that means that you would make the laws of Clemson simply reflect reality, okay? People are going to either be celebrating or mourning, one or the other. Tonight will be a night of severely high emotion in Clemson, South Carolina, which is a great little town, by the way, if you've never been there. It's a great little town. So that's what they can do. It is now 8:24 at 106.3 WORD. And there's something I came across that I find interesting. There is some material here that's, I suppose, worth considering, mixed in with other things that are not. A bill has been proposed in the Vermont State Legislature which would ban cell phone use or ownership for those under 21. The bill states that lawmakers have concluded those under 21, and I quote, aren't mature enough to possess guns, smoke cigarettes, or drink alcohol, and the same should apply to cell phones. Now, Vermont recently increased the smoking age to 21 and barred those under 21 from buying a gun unless they take a hunter safety course. And a state senator in Vermont, John Rogers, a Democrat, amazingly enough, says he introduced a bill to highlight the restrictions on guns and doesn't expect it to pass. Well, I dare say, introducing a bill to ban cell phone ownership from those under 21 will not get too far. But the bill cites distracted driving with cell phones as a leading cause of death among teenagers and cell phone bullying, a link to suicides. Well, those are valid considerations, certainly. But it does raise an interesting question. We automatically limit certain activities to certain people, and we often do so by age. Now, does that mean, for example, that you're allowed to drive when you're 16 and you have a driver's license? Does that mean every 16-year-old at 15 years and 363 days were not mature enough, and then instantly at 16, boom, we get that maturity? Of course it doesn't. We know people, of course, who physically are big enough and their maturity is such they can drive at 12, I mean, in terms of safety. And we know other people, 16, they couldn't drive safely at 46. They'll never drive safely. The law, of course, has to provide some rationale. And I think most of us would probably agree that should a six-year-old drive a car? Oh, no, of course not. Okay, what about an eight-year-old? No. What about a 13-year-old? Well, probably not. The law has to draw a line somewhere. And yes, these lines are drawn arbitrarily. I mean, we decide in our society based on your age when you can vote, drive, drink, smoke, sign legal documents, or join the military. And I find it an interesting thought. While I certainly am not in favor of either this particular bill or the purpose of the bill, which is to show why people under 21 shouldn't have a gun unless they take a hunter safety course, but I think it does point out the fact that society does, in fact, draw lines here. Now, of course, there's been much talk about raising the smoking age nationwide and all the rest of that. It is 21 now everywhere, as a matter of fact. But yet, nonetheless, this is in the Vermont state legislature. So, I'm curious your thoughts. How do you feel about this? What are the appropriate ages for any of this? For example, one argument that I've heard frequently is if you're old enough to serve in the military, you should be old enough to do just about any of that. Obviously, carry a gun. I mean, the military will train you in the use of a gun. If you're in the military, should you be old enough to vote? I would certainly think so. Drinking and smoking are not things I would encourage, but in terms of a right to do so, if you can serve in the military, it would seem, which you can do, I think, at age 17, I believe that's the age you can sign up without parental consent. And, you know, why not? So I'm just curious how you feel about that. At the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, or the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. What should be the appropriate ages involved here? I certainly don't agree with the Vermont senator or with the point of his bill, which is to highlight the restrictions on guns that he thinks is so valuable. But it does raise an interesting question. Society almost has to apply some standard of when is too old, or when is old enough, rather, or when is not old enough. And where would you arbitrarily draw these lines on things like smoking and drinking and voting and owning a gun or owning a cell phone? Just curious. And we got Linda in Rutherfordton to give us some thoughts this morning. Hi, Linda.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I'd like to talk about the age limits on young people being raised to 21.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as though if a young person is mature enough to serve in the military, if they're mature enough to be allowed to get married at 18 without parents' consent, if they're allowed at whatever age different areas are on abortions, I believe that they should be mature enough and allowed at 18 to make the decision of whether they want to own a cell phone or drink or smoke. I mean, as long as they're mature enough, you know, drive a car. I believe maturity depends a lot on the maturity of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even like owning a cell phone, there's laws out there that you can't have utilities, you know, your water, your electric, your rent, unless you're 18 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. The kids at 5 years old, they have cell phones.
Yeah.
They, you know, but they're not mature enough for it.
Uh-huh.
So I think it really depends on maturity on a lot of things.
Yeah, it does. And of course, maturity is very much an individual process. And yet we don't possess the Vulcan mind meld. We can't just reach out like Mr. Spock and just grab somebody's head and say, well, this is what you're really thinking. We don't have that. And so we have to have these arbitrary age limits. So I can see the problem that the government faces. We really don't want to have 5-year-olds drinking. We really don't. And so you have to draw a line somewhere. So I see what you're saying. And yeah, parenting has a lot to do with it, Linda. It sure does.
Well, not only that, you know, like in other countries, you know, they make a no big deal out of, you know, you go to a McDonald's, and because their water supply isn't good over there, you know, the kids can order a beer. You know, it's
yeah.
Like they make such a big deal out of everything here and make everything so voodoo. And I think that's why the kids want to do it, because when you're not allowed to do something, that's when you want to do it more.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Nothing that is any sweeter than forbidden fruit. Absolutely. Forbid someone from doing something. That's just simple human psychology. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Points well taken, Linda. I thank you for sharing those thoughts today, and I think you're absolutely right. It's just always difficult to decide just where you draw these lines. And again, in fairness to this lawmaker in Vermont, he is not seriously proposing that, in fact, cell phone use or ownership would be banned for those under 21. He's trying to make a point about how evil guns are. So I don't agree with his point, but I certainly see the fact that he's trying to make a point and not this particular one. Let's see. Texters are having a field day on this one at 18 before 9 o'clock. So the Democrats think 16 is too mature to own a cell phone, but it's definitely not mature enough to own a cell phone, definitely mature enough to vote for the next president of the most powerful country in the world. Yeah, there is here's that viewpoint. You must know that in some jurisdictions, and these tend to be very liberal local jurisdictions, you can vote under the age of 18, 17, 16 even in some of these jurisdictions legally. Can't do that in a state election or a federal election, but in, like, for example, take the People's Republic of Tacoma Park, Maryland, which I'm familiar with, and no, I would not want to live there. But I'm pretty sure you can, I think 16 is the voting age there. And oh, and also your legal status does not affect that. They register to vote illegals in places like that. Now, you can't do that in a Maryland state election or in a federal election in Maryland, just to continue the Tacoma Park example. But in a local election, yeah, they've done it. So don't ever tell me that they are against illegals voting nationally when they do it whenever they have a chance at the local level. So that's the issue, says this texter. Maturity is not the result of attaining a certain age. So how do you determine whether someone is mature enough? And obviously, you can't. Of course, there are other reasons why, for example, you could not get a driver's license, let's say, because based on, say, a driving record. This sort of thing. In terms of buying a cell phone, of course, I mean, again, you imagine the enforcement of that? Imagine getting carded, you're trying to buy a cell phone? No, I don't think so. Texter says, I think it's crazy that you can't buy a pack of cigarettes at 18, but you can vote. There should be one age where you're considered an adult capable of making adult decisions and not a bunch of arbitrary ages for different things. My opinion, that age should be 21. And that's what's interesting about all of this is that we had a number of people who have texted in with different age opinions here. 25 seems like a mature age to make important decisions that should not be made rashly or with lack of experience or perspective. So that's what one texter said here. Alan and Greer, being that most age restrictions were arbitrary, pick the voting age of 18 as the age of consent for all issues. Consider that fact, that if you can vote for it at 18, you can also vote against it at 18. Let's see here. Since there are no basically payphones anymore and many people don't have landlines, how is a young person in Vermont supposed to contact their family and friends or call about a job interview? Yeah, exactly. Should they be banned from internet access too? The left is crazy. And yes, again, in fairness to this Democrat, he was merely making a point, but it does raise the question. And I'm sure that different ones of us would have different answers. So I just thought it was kind of an interesting point. Society has to draw lines somewhere. We cannot truly detect a person's maturity. Just a few thoughts. We've been talking a bit about these arbitrary ages that we have for this or that activity, simply because a Vermont state senator, John Rogers, a Democrat, of course, had proposed a bill, in tongue-in-cheek, be fair to him, that would ban cell phone use or ownership for those under 21. He was merely trying to make a point regarding the ownership of guns, which Vermont has also voted, by the way, to ban the ownership of guns, or from buying a gun, I should say, unless they take on a hunter safety course. And I'm all for hunter safety courses as a prerequisite to ownership before the age of 21. No, thank you. Afraid I can't go along with that particular route. I had a great gun safety course that I got from the NRA at the age of 12. I remember I had already been shooting an old single-shot 22 that my father had let me use, and we had gone out and shot into the side of a hill. And it was a terrible gun, by the way, but it did teach me, you know, the basic stuff. And then I had the gun safety course. They're very worthwhile. If you can have a young person take a gun safety course, very, very worthwhile. So I passed that along. But anyway, a number of people, of course, have had some thoughts about just exactly what these various ages should be. And let's see here. I've heard that the brain doesn't stop growing until about age 25, so let's up the age to vote, enlist, smoke, drink, and possess firearms at 25, said sarcastically. Yeah, I think maybe. I think maybe. Let's see here. Age limit in drinking and smoking and voting should mirror the same age they can send you to prison. That's an interesting thought. I'd never even that never even occurred to me that that might be the basis. See, there are all kinds of things that enter into here. In other words, the idea being that if you are old enough to be held responsible for such activities as drinking or smoking or voting, then that should be the same age that you can be held responsible for committing a major crime. Interesting thought. Ah, texter here. This one that really hits home. You can't legislate stupidity. No. Better education on the consequences of poor decisions would be better. True enough. True enough. Once again, Democrats want to put a Band-Aid on problems with driver safety and bullying instead of fixing the root problem. It's like banning vehicles because drunk people drive them. Yes, that is exactly what it is. It is like banning vehicles because drunk people drive them. Yes. So, again, it's just the kind of discussion that civilized societies have because you have to make some kind of concession to reality. And the problem is that the state has no way of evaluating each individual. So that's why we have these arbitrary ages. It's a step in the supposedly the right direction. And the concept of such limits, I agree, is a good thing. The concept. Where we apply them, at what age, that is, of course, open to a lot of interpretation. All right. Texter says, the biggest culprit of the cell phone is internet and social media access. Then why are schools pushing laptops and computers as early as elementary school? Well, good point. We have a lot of people in this country who are of the opinion that if you can do something, that you ought to do something. I have never followed that particular point of view, and I'll give an example here in a moment. Dexter says, let's see here. Then a person shouldn't be allowed to choose their gender until they're at least 18. Okay. I suppose not. Yeah, I just started sort of stuck with the one they issued me myself. The age to vote needs to be 30 years old since the brain is not fully developed until around age 25. Give them time to shake off the indoctrination imposed by our left-wing educational system. Signed, Allison. That's a thought, assuming, of course, that they managed to shake that off here. Texter says, I've got 3 sons and 5 grandchildren. I don't think any of the young people that have been in our school system are ready to make good decisions until they are at least 30. Okay. I think the issue with the 365 days means you are now a mature adult is more or less... If the general consensus is adulthood of 16, but not everyone hits maturity at the same time. So if you add a couple more years to it, make 18-year-old should be as mature as a 16-year-old at least. That's how you make sure everyone who votes, smokes, joins the military is at least the maturity level of a 16-year-old. Yeah, that's a thought. Of course, for example, let's say that you made 18, let's say, the driving age. Boy, talk about a response from the public, particularly young people. These days, I'm not sure which would upset them more, restriction on their cell phone use or on their driving. I know that it would have been a major issue for me at an early age if someone had tried to restrict my driving. I was the second oldest kid in my class in high school. And I remember the day I got my driver's license, which was the day of my birthday. I wasn't about to miss that opportunity. I felt extremely liberated. And I remember driving my parents' car around town in front of the houses of my friends, and I would drive by and roll down the window and disdainfully note, oh, I see you're still riding your bicycle. I was not a nice person. What can I tell you? So anyway, yeah, once you have a, quote, a right at a certain age, taking it away is not an easy thing to do, at least legally. Of course, we all know how many people no longer drink because the age is 21, right? Sure, they all stopped.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.